What an interesting way to introduce the words of the judging God. We know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay, and I will judge my people." We know this God? This judging God? I'm not sure there's any passage in the entire New Testament that so realistically speaks to our own life. That is to say, so realistically speaks to our lives as baptized people. Not just anyone, but you and me is the focus of this text, the people of God. We will be judged. There is no mercy in the language of this text. That is to say, there is no attempt to make things better than they really are, or to seem better than they really are. Trampling underfoot the Son of God, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, counting as nothing the blood of the covenant. Harsh language. This language speaks to the seriousness of our baptism, which is, after all, rooted in the utter seriousness of what it means to live. The utter seriousness of life. Serious business. Sometimes it doesn't always seem that way. We go about our daily affairs, oftentimes not even thinking about what we do. Sometimes, as in our own world, in our own society, serious things are about, and they're not talked about very seriously. We make cult idols and heroes out of people walking along with death in their flesh, and all they can say is, "Let's do it more safely." That's not taking things seriously. Not too far away from here, there's a young girl. She's 11. She has a common disease these days, much in the news, AIDS. She's going to die. Probably before Thanksgiving. My wife has the pleasure of working with this young lady because this girl says simply, "I'm going home to heaven." Now, this young girl is profound because she knows that life is not ours, finally. It was given to us, and it's under a claim. And that claim is the claim made by the God who gives us our life, and thought of it as so serious that he even sent his son to die for it. So serious is it. It stands now under the judgment of death. And that death is seen in the death of Christ on the cross. There is no more sacrifice. That's it. That's what God wanted to say about our life. That life of sin has to die in order that a new life dedicated to God might come forth. It's a life just seen and felt and experienced and walked as under the claim of the one who judges. Those words which we said earlier, those are powerful words. Do we mean them? "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we should walk in the newness of life." This text speaks about the tough business of living each moment as under God's judgment. I've seen our life as the utter serious business of living under the judgment of death. How do we do that? How do we do that? Well, the message of this church year is both profound and simple. It says simply, repent. Or as our letter says, let us simply consider one another, to urge one another to love and good works, not forsaking worship, holding fast our profession of faith, humility, patience, that is to say, the constant putting to death of our own self-assertion, that there's a claim upon us by another, and that claim might come to us through the lives of others. Not me, but you. Not what I want, but what you actually require. Not finally my desire and my lust, but what God wills. Or in the profound words of an 11-year-old, God wants me. How we live this life under God's judgment is determined by every moment that is given to us. And we don't know what that is. We know it when it meets us. And so the configuration of our life finally is not even our own. It's given to us by God, and therein we are to live the life of our baptism. Death to the old, life to the new. And so it's proper, isn't it, that in this last few days of our church year, Luther, through our own worship today, reminds us of our baptism as the defining moment of our every day. Return each day to your baptism, he said, so that old man may be put to death again through repentance, and we may stand up again to live that life of the newness which God gives to us. Or, as he put it in another way, remain in the cross. Don't go outside of it. Remain under it. For therein there is not only God's judgment, but indeed the defeat of death and sin and Satan. So that our lives are not only back then under its shadow, but now within its gracious reality. Life's tough work. I mean, Christian life is tough work. Living under the actual realization that there is a claim upon us that determines how our life is to be. Not from us, but from another. And that other showed himself in the cross. Father, not my will, but yours be done. Maybe that sums it up. And so, what's the message of the end of this year? A year that began with the coming of the Savior into the flesh, saw him move towards Calvary and Easter, and the coming of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, and for these last months, the preaching of the church about how too shall we live. We live as we see the day approaching. That's how the writer to the Hebrews puts it. And that day is the day of Christ's coming. The one under whose judgment we live, whose death has set us free, and whose life has been given to us. I suppose, as a good Lutheran, you hate to end a little sermon with an exhortation. But why not? The writer to the Hebrews does. So, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. So let us hold fast to the profession of our faith, without wavering, for God is faithful. And let us consider one another, to urge one another constantly unto love and to good works, not forsaking coming together, but exhorting one another. And let's do this all the more, since the day is approaching. May then our Lord, crucified and risen, who met us in our baptism that we should walk in the newness of life, may He truly be Lord of our life. One whom we not only say is Lord, but who is Lord every moment, until that day which approaches, so that we may be indeed judged by God and vindicated with these words, "Come blessed, inherit the kingdom." In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.